Terrible Histories, Annual 2009, All the Goodar and Mudar, from the horribly hilarious hit series of books, Time to Head Off, read by Vienna Vance. Awesome Going Up, Modern Humans, That's Us, Human Like Apes, Handyman, Upright Man, Neanderthals, Going Down. Awesome Ancient World, what a rotten place to be. Even in the civilized world of the Greeks and Romans, punishments were painful, battles were beastly, and the greatest game of all was watching people die. Hall of Shame. Ashurna Serpol, c. 883-859 BC. This Assyrian king ruled his lands through terror. His enemies were used as slaves, and their leaders were skinned alive. That doesn't sound very appealing. Alexander, 356-323 BC. Alex was a mighty conqueror, but he was also a deadly drunk. He crucified his foes, killed one of his mates in a fight, then died after drinking too much wine. Caligula, AD 12-31. This rotten Roman emperor tried to make his horse Incitatus into a consul, threw audience members to the lions in the circus, and claimed he was a god. Boudica, AD 54-68. Big, bad, bossy Boudica was a fearsome Celtic queen. When the Romans took her land and had her whipped, she set out for revenge, burning Roman towns and butchering prisoners. Attila the Hun, AD 303-453. As king of the Huns, Attila shared power with his brother, who he later killed. Attila invaded the Roman Empire and brutally slaughtered anyone who got in his way. World's Worst Exits, 487 BC. An entire Athenian army is wiped out in a battle against the Greeks of Aegina. The sole survivor staggers back to Athens to tell the soldiers' wives the terrible news. So what do the wailing widows do? They stab him to death with their brooches. What a pointless thing to do. C. AD 50. A victim of a Celtic human sacrifice is hit on the head with an axe, strangled, has his throat cut, and is then thrown in a bog. Talk about overkill. 53 BC. The Persians capture greedy Roman general Crassus. They killed him by pouring melted gold down his throat. AD 260. Valerian, the Roman emperor, is also grabbed by the Persians, who flay him alive. Skin him. Beastliest Battles. 1382 BC. Megiddo. The Egyptians attacked their Canaanite enemies in the fortress of Megiddo. The Egyptian soldiers hack off the right hand of each enemy's corpse to prove how many men they've massacred. 480 BC. Thermopylae. 300 Spartan soldiers stupidly fight against tens of thousands of Persians. They know they don't have a chance. All 300 suicidal Spartans die. Still, everyone says they are very brave. Dead brave, in fact. Roman Britain. It took them a few goes, but when the Romans finally set foot on British soil, they changed the land forever. Of course, the Brits put up a bit of a fight, but the Empire struck back. Until the 1st century BC, the people of Britain did their own thing. Fighting and trading with each other, they are sacrificing each other to their gods. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Get your traditional gold neck rings here. Don't worry, this will only hurt a lot. But things were about to change. Julius Caesar was looking for a place to invade and decided that an attack on Britain would make him popular. Let's see, I've got the Gauls, beaten the Belgians, I think I'll go bash the Brits, too. Caesar's first try in 55 BC was a bash out. His fleet got battered by storms, and the Brits kept ambushing his army. Caesar repaired his ships and sailed away. See ya, Caesar, wouldn't want to be ya. I came, I saw, I went away. The following year, he came back with a bigger army, stomped a few Brits, then got bored and went home again. I hate the tourist season. Even though most of the Romans left Britain, their fashions and customs hung around. Where did you get all that stuff? The Ideal Rome Exhibition. Following Roman fashions was one thing, but liking the Romans was another. Verica, one of the tribal kings, was pro-Roman, and he was kicked out by a gang of anti-Romans led by Caratacus. If you like Rome so much, why don't you go live there? Heh heh heh. Ow! Verica went running off to Rome. I say, chaps, can you lend me an army? The Emperor Claudius sent over a huge army. It invaded Britain and smashed any Britons dumb enough to get in its way. The Romans even bullied the Britons into handing over Caratacus. Give us Caratacus, or we'll stick it to you. It's the old choice, carrot or the stick. This time the Romans didn't leave. They built temples, baths, and even fancy Roman-style towns such as Camulodunum. Now Colchester. Emperor Claudius showed up to make it clear that Britain was now part of the Roman Empire. The country is horrible, but the statues are lovely. The Romans kept on bullying, too. When the chief of the Echini tribe died, he left half his land to the Roman emperor and half to his wife, Boudica. That wasn't enough for the Romans. Ha ha, the emperor would rather have all his land and have Boudica whipped. Ow! I'll get you for this. Oh yeah, you and whose army? Big mistake. Boudicca led the Iceni and other angry British tribes in a big rebellion against the Romans. Her army burned Camulodunum to the ground. My army! In the end, though, the rebellion was crushed. Boudicca took poison rather than be captured by the Romans. You'll never take me alive. Arg, I'm dying. Oh, it'll be that awful British cooking. The Romans now controlled the areas we call England and Wales, but they never managed to conquer the wild Picts of the North. The Emperor Hadrian built a big wall along the border with what's now Scotland to keep them out. Come on, chaps, I'm not going to do this all by myself. Back in Europe, the Roman Empire was under attack by invading tribes. The legions were pulled back to defend Rome. We'll be back, chaps, honest. Huh, we don't need you Romans anyway. But then Britain got invaded by the Picts, so the Britons hired the Saxons to defend them. The Saxons beat the Picts, then attacked the Britons. The Britons sent a message to Rome. Tell the Emperor, please send help, arg! Please send help, arg! Got it. But Rome wouldn't send help. Dear Britons, I am sorry, but all of our legions are busy at the moment. You are on your own. Best wishes, the Emperor. The Brits fought bravely, but couldn't hold back the Saxons. Rome and Britain was finished, and the Saxons took over. Your Roman days are over. The battling Brit. The Romans rampaged through Britain like bullies through a playground, until they came up against a really tough cookie. Big Queen Boudicca was a king-sized Celt with an attitude to match. When the Romans took her land, she led the Iceni tribe into the Roman town of Colchester, burned it down, and torched London and St. Albans, too. Before this fiery rampage, there were several signs that made people think that the gods were on her side. In Colchester, the Roman Statue of Victory fell face down as if it was surrendering. Women reported that ghostly, ghastly shrieks could be heard in the Roman Senate House. At the mouth of the Thames, a phantom town was seen in ruins. The sea turned blood red, and, as the tide went out, the sands took on the shapes of corpses. There, their heroine. It's easy to imagine Boud as a true warrior heroine, but she wasn't actually very nice. As ever, there are two sides to every terrible history. Cowardly Boudicca only attacked undefended towns. The Romans wrecked the undefended British temples, smarty pants. The brutal British tortured prisoners, you brainless Briton. Boudicca's army would burn, hang, and even crucify prisoners. The Romans? And who taught us about crucifixion? Exactly. So we win the argument. Ah, but we won the battle. Did you know, Boud's body is believed to be buried in London. But is it A, under her statue on Westminster Bridge, opposite the Houses of Parliament, B, under King's Cross Station, or C, at the bottom of the Thames? Maybe they should call it Queen's Cross Station instead. A soldier's rotten lot. It wasn't easy being in the Roman army. In fact, it was stricter than school. But it was better than being one of the people you would bash, rob, and trash. When you joined the great army of the Roman Republic, you signed up for 25 years. But that wasn't so bad. You had wicked weapons, loyal colleges, and cunning commanders. Tough stuff. But the Roman army's real secret weapon was discipline. You know, the stuff your teacher says your class hasn't gotten enough of. Well, this army had more discipline than a dozen detentions. The soldiers did exactly what they were told every time. They knew what was best for them. Company perks. Of course, there were good bits to being a soldier, too. Otherwise, no one would have wanted you in the army. The goodies included plunder. You could make extra wealth by robbing the countries you defeated. You could take money, animals, or even living prisoners who could be sold as slaves. I think I've got the sack. Army exam. Right, you rotten recruit. Let's get your brains tested. What should you wear under your kilt? A. Nothing. B. Pants. C. Fig leaves. Four. How long will we have to stay in the army? A. 25 years. B. 5 years. C. For the rest of your life, or until you're 100 years old. 3. When the fancy takes you, who will you be allowed to marry? A. Anyone. B. No one. C. Only a Roman woman. 4. Where should you drive on a Roman road? A. On the right. B. Down the middle. Or C. On the left. 5. Who pays for your uniform, weapons, food, and burial? A. The Emperor. B. They're free. C. You do out of your wages. C. What should you use to wipe your bum? A. A wet sponge on a stick, the same one that every other soldier uses. B. Your tunic. Or see the daily newspaper. 7. Your spear has a metal head that snaps off. Why? A. So the enemy can't pull it out and throw it back. B. So you can keep the head in your pocket. C. Because the Roman armorers can't make the head stay on. 8. Why is one centurion known as Give Me Another? A. He always wants another song. B. He said it after he ate a pig. C. He once beat a soldier so hard that he broke his cane and had to call Give Me Another. Yards. There weren't any medals for brave actions, but there were 3 special crowns. 1. Oak leaves, for saving the life of a fellow citizen. Julius Caesar won one for his part in ending the siege of Mytilene when he was just 20 years old. 2. Plaited grass, for rescuing an army under siege. 2. Gold, for being the first soldier over the wall of an enemy town. You'd better hope others followed you over, or you might not have a head to put it on. Pensions. The army took 2 parts of every 7 you earned in wages and saved it for you. When you retired, they gave you your savings and some land. You could retire in comfort. If you were lucky enough still to be alive, that is. Deadly ducks. Roman army doctors knew how to amputate mangled limbs, remove tonsils, mend broken bones. Next. But Roman doctors didn't have anesthetics to put you to sleep while they hacked you about. They would chop and knot, oblivious to the screams of the wounded man. Not because they were deaf, but because they were trained to ignore them. Fashioned to die for. If the Celtic warriors hadn't paid so much attention to their appearance, they might have stood a better chance. In battle, Celtic warriors often fought without any clothes at all. The Romans said the Britons were painted from head to toe in a blue dye called woad. But maybe they were just blue with the cold. A bare blue Briton must have been pretty scary. But what would you rather wear? Roman armor or blue paint? Celtic men were proud of their hair. They bleached it by washing it in lime. The roots of the hair would be dark and the rest a bleached blonde. The lime also made the hair stand on end. They went into battle with their hair in a crest of spikes. One writer said the spikes were so stiff and strong that you could have stuck an apple on the end of each point. But this fierce fashion wasn't very clever. It meant they didn't wear helmets that could save their lives in battle. It would have spoiled their hairstyles. Has anyone seen my hair, Jill? And now a baffling battle for your brains. Ah, God, Joe. Roll up, brainy bods. Can you spot any fakes among these Roman gods? One, Claudia, goddess of hinges. She was adored. Two, Robicus, god of mildew. That's mold on his robe, I guess. Three, Furina, goddess of whatever you like. Hamsters, holidays, ham sandwiches. Five, Penates, god of cupboards. What's he got in store? Or four, Terminus, god of boundaries. He really was the limit. Latin break. 7 Romans are hidden in the word square, along with a beast that doesn't belong. Icony scene. Run for your lives. The Icony are going crazy in Camulodunum. Can you see 6 differences between the pictures? Going up, bad teeth, bubonic plague, pointy hats and shoes. Going down, Saxon and Norman kings. People, they're dying of the plague. Monstrous Middle Ages. Welcome to the Middle Ages, when Vikings came to slash and slay, and Storm and Normans came to stay. It was a time of nasty knights and crazy crusades. Hall of Shame. Eric Bloodaxe, 928-933. This vicious Viking killed 7 of his brothers, so he could become king of Norway. But his rotten reign ended when he was ambushed and killed by his enemies. Serves him right. King William I, 1066-1087. When William attacked the French town of Alencon, the defenders made fun of him, so he captured 31 of the townsfolk and had their hands and feet cut off. And that's no joke. Genghis Khan, 1165-1207. Genghis Khan was a mean Mongol conqueror. Once he ordered his men to cut open some prisoners' bellies to see if they had hidden their jewels by swallowing them. King John, 1199-1216. John was really rotten. During a rebellion in France, he captured over 200 knights and treated them so cruelly that 22 of them died. He died because he pigged out on peaches and cider. King Richard III, 1483-1385. Rotten Richard did dozens of dastardly deeds. Some say he had his 2 little nephews murdered in the Tower of London so that he could become King of England. World's Worst Exits. 1327. King Edward II is thrown into prison by his wife and then murdered. It is a nasty way to go. His killers push a red-hot poker up his bottom. 1333. In Japan, almost all of the Hojo family of samurai commit suicide in a cave because they are about to lose a battle. Hojo Takatoki begins by cutting open his own belly and pulling out his guts. About 870 others follow his example. 1358. When Will Kale leads a peasant rebellion in France in 1358, he is captured and crowned with a red-hot crown. Then his head is cut off and stuck on a stake. 1321. Joan of Arc is accused of witchcraft and burned alive at the stake. Beastliest Battles. 1066. Hastings. King Harold is exhausted after beating his brother, Tostig, in northern England. But with no time to rest, he marches south to fight the Normans. Harold cops an arrow in the eye. A sore day for the English. 1315. Agincourt. The English beat the French by hammering wooden stakes in the ground to trip up the enemy horses. The French knights in heavy armor drown in the mud or get shot by longbow arrows. I didn't see that coming. Frights in armor. Here's how the Middle Ages became an absolute nightmare. It's a story of castles, crosses, and terrible losses. After the Western Roman Empire fell apart in AD 376, Europe entered the Dark Ages. The ordinary people kept getting raided and robbed by invaders, so kings and nobles had to recruit horsemen to chase the invaders away. Oh, get off my land! Leg it, they've got horses! Getting a gang together each time there was trouble was a big bother. Kings needed fighters who were always ready. Swear you'll always fight for me and I'll give you land and peasants. Suppose we'll be doing night shifts then? These warriors earned enough from their lands to pay for their own horses, armor, and weapons. They became known as knights. At first, knights threw spears, but they soon realized it was better to charge in a group and use the spears as deadly lances. What is it? I think it's a giant hedgehog. Knights on horseback were unbeatable. The knights had their own rules. They wouldn't attack women, children, or priests. They all fight on holy days and between Thursday and Sunday. These rules were the beginning of the code of chivalry, a bit like school rules for knights. Not out slaying, dear? No, dear, it's my night off. In 1066, William the Conqueror, the Norman leader, invaded England. His knights took over land and built lots of wooden castles to defend it. The castles, called Mott and Baileys, had drawbridges, but they also had drawbacks. They're like rotten, Bailey. They're like hot and flamey. Knights soon got fed up with wooden castles and built stone ones instead. In 1095, Pope Urban II called for the First Crusade, a trip to Jerusalem and the Holy Land to throw out the Muslim Turks who ruled it. Some peasants had to go, and had a very unpleasant time. First Crusade? You need first aid, and they're alike. Then it was the knights' turn. They defeated every Turkish army in their way, captured Jerusalem, and slaughtered everyone inside. What a total nightmare! Some knights stayed there to conquer and rule the Holy Land. When they weren't crusading, knights practiced their fighting in tournaments. The spirit was also a good way to get killed. Take that! Ow, I thought spirit was supposed to be good for you. Tournaments were so dangerous that Pope Innocent II banned them. He wanted the king knights alive to go on more crusades. Just an innocent request. Gangs of lethal fighting monks, such as the Knights Templar, got together to protect Christians in the Holy Land. Go ahead, monk. Make my day. A second crusade set off to help the knights in the Holy Land, but it attacked some forces who were helping them and ruined the whole plan. These are crazy, 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 crazy knights. The Muslims took the chance to nab Jerusalem back, so a third crusade was sent to recapture the city. It included King Richard I of England and Philip II of France, but the kings just quarreled. I'm off home and I'm taking my man with me. See if I care. Back in Europe, the knights' daring deeds were being celebrated in poems and songs. Tournaments were top of the pops, too. For the knights, following the rules of chivalry was the only way to behave. Whenever they fought each other in tournaments, they were supposed to do it in a fair way. Not chivalrous. That feels so much better. Chivalrous. In 1291, the Muslims took the last city in the Holy Land back from the Crusaders. Was it worth all that fighting and bloodshed? We've lost the Holy Land! Have you checked on the back of the sofa? By the 1300s, knights were wearing suits of plate armor, big pieces of tough metal instead of chainmail. Hooray, it's plate time! Groan. You're so last century, man. Bashing victims. In 1302, something happened that gave knights nightmares. Farmers armed with spears defeated an army of French knights. Then in 1315, their knights got nobbled by Swiss soldiers armed with long-hooked spears called halberds. Night times were changing. This is embarrassing. How do you like being at the sharp end for once? In the next war, the Hundred Years' War, French knights were beaten in three big battles by English archers. Arrows fired by their longbows could go through plate armor. Le ouch! This is really embarrassing. It got worse. By the 1500s, cannons and guns were so powerful they could blast through any armor. Knights couldn't hide in their castles anymore. Cannons could blow those apart, too. I need a new career. I suppose I could get a stable job. The knights' days were over. Nighty-night, knights. Little villains. The Normans ran their countries under a feudal system. Imagine it as a period. Gosh, it's a long way up. Nice view. Where would feudal explanations be without pyramids? Where's the gratitude? The king's at the top and owns the lot. The barons guard the king's land and train the men to fight for the king who sits at the top and owns the lot. The knights look after the villages and fight for the barons who guard the king's land and train the men to fight for the king who sits at the top and owns the lot. The villains work on the land and work for the knights who look after the villages and fight for the barons who guard the king's land and train the men to fight for the king who sits at the top and owns the lot. The serfs belong to the land, whoever is in charge, which is looked after by the knights who look after the villages and fight for the barons who guard the king's land and train the men to fight for the king who sits at the top and owns the lot. Test your mettle. There's more to being a knight than prancing around with a lance, you know. Can you pass this exam on nasty knighthood? 1. King Edward I of England set up a tournament and he will be fighting in it. What do you do? A. Fight in the tournament to the death, even if it means killing the king. B. Fight with a special sword that won't harm anyone too much. C. Refuse to fight. 2. What is a knight errant? A. A knight who wanders around Europe looking for good causes. B. A knight who has failed in battle and is a disgrace. C. A knight who makes lots of errors. D. 3, you were a knight captured in battle by a squire. This is a disgrace because he's not a knight. What do you do to him? A, make him promise not to tell. B, make him into a knight. C, kill him and keep quiet about it. There, you capture an opposing knight in battle. He is rich. What do you do? A, kill him and steal anything valuable on his body. B, kill him, then send his body and all his belongings home to his family in a horse box. C, let him live and sell him back to his family for a small fortune. Bad manners. Norman barons took English land as their manors. They made the locals work hard and pay taxes too. No wonder the barons lived behind fierce fences. Mound of trouble. 1. The poorest peasants were called serfs, and they had almost nothing. 2. Peasants prided themselves on keeping their houses clean. They really gave dirt the brush off. 3. As if their lives were wretched enough already, the serfs had to give 1/10 of their crops to the church. Wholly unfair. 4. Pigs were taken to the poorest to feed. They weren't easy to control. 5. The bailiff was the Norman baron's top chap, so people hated him. 6. A Norman baron lived in a motte and bailey, an early type of castle, surrounded by a wall of sharp stakes called a palisade. 7. Only barons and their knights were rich enough to own horses. 8. Each manor had a blacksmith to make horseshoes and swords and to mend tools. In fact, he could iron out most problems. 9. The baron could stand on his motte, a high mound, and look over his manor as if it were a little kingdom. I'm branching out. Oh, leave the jokes to me. I must brush up on my cleaning. I'm in 10th heaven. Roadhog, I bet you're a real hit with the ladies. That night's in a daze. Let's go surfing. Don't be silly. Only peasants do that.